Benjamin Bolinas. This is HeelPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the whacked out secret hippie village where they keep stealing the sign north of San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 23rd of February, 2017. On this date in 532, Byzantine Emperor Justinian orders the construction of a new Orthodox Christian cathedral in Constantinople, the Hagia Sophia. In 1455, the Gutenberg Bible is printed. It is the first European book to be printed using movable type. 1853, the Orange Free State becomes independent from the British Empire. After the Boer War, it becomes a province of the Union of South Africa. 1898, Emile Zola is imprisoned in France for writing a famous letter entitled J'accuse, which accuses the French government of anti-Semitism, and for the conviction and imprisonment of innocent Captain Alfred Dreyfus. 1903, Cuba's Guantanamo Bay is leased to the United States in perpetuity, unfortunately. 1944, the Soviet Union starts the forced deportation of the Chechen and Ingush peoples from the North Caucasus to Central Asia. Birthdays today are W.E.B. Du Bois and Russian Patriarch Alexei II. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tapealpod.com or send us an email at tapealpod@gmail.com. Thousands of people took to Rustaveli Avenue on Sunday in support of Rustaviori, demanding fairness and justice in the ongoing ownership dispute that's not really a dispute involving the channel that is an attempt by the government to silence the TV station, which is the major broadcast voice of the opposition. The station itself went off the air over the weekend as an act of protest against the alleged government interference in the media sector, which is not just alleged, but is real. Rustaviori director Nika Gvaramia and deputy director Zal Udomashvili addressed demonstrators on Sunday, saying that if the station fell, other things in Georgia would fall too, because there would be no major outlets giving a voice to the Georgian people. Gvaramia blamed Bidzina for muzzling the media and said that all the station wants is justice, that Georgia needs more than just free speech in name, but also an independent court system. The event was well attended by opposition politicians, including Giga Bokeri and Dato Bakradze of the newly named Movement for Liberty European Georgia, and Nika Melia of the National Movement. Representatives from the Republican Party, New Rights Party, and Labor Party were there as well, in order to highlight that it was a civic protest and not a political event. None of the politicians addressed the crowd. Following up on the church scandal, Patriarch Ilya II returned to Georgia after undergoing successful surgery in Berlin. Upon returning, he addressed the media and said the church is still investigating the alleged poison case along with the authorities. As reported earlier, Archpriest Mamaladze was arrested earlier this month in Tbilisi International Airport while in the possession of cyanide and is being investigated for attempted murder. Because he was on his way to Berlin to visit Ilya, many speculated that he planned to murder the patriarch. That was never confirmed, however, and earlier this week, the prosecutor's office filed charges against Mamaladze for attempting to murder Shorena Tetruashvili, who is Ilya's secretary. Tetruashvili was with Ilya in Berlin when Mamaladze was arrested, and she's rumored to have a very powerful position within Ilya's inner circle. Prosecutor's office has taken a lot of criticism for previously announcing that Mamaladze was being investigated for attempting to murder Ilya. He's now under investigation for attempting to murder Shorena Tetruashvili. The government has also been criticized by the opposition for stating that Ilya was the target of the alleged poisoning attempt before having all the facts. Very little information about the case has been made public because the prosecutors have imposed a non-disclosure agreement on Mamaladze's lawyers, which is extremely unusual. The restriction has been heavily criticized by the public defender, the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, and the Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, Human Rights Center, and the Tolerance and Diversity Institute. In part because so little information has been made public, many speculate that Mamaladze was framed. Rustaviori published a letter last week allegedly written by Mamaladze to Ilya. In the letter, Mamaladze highlights the number of irregularities involving the church's finance, including graft corruption and illegal production of alcohol. Some people think that Mamaladze was framed by people within the church who didn't want him to get that information to Ilya. Officially, the church has been silent on the matter, but one senior clergyman, Metropolitan Petre Tsava, believes that Mamaladze is innocent. Tsava told the media that Teturashvili could be behind the frame-up. Mamaladze is currently in pretrial detention. He's asking for a face-to-face meeting with the patriarch. Following up on visa liberalization, EU ambassadors agreed to endorse visa liberalization for Georgia, an important rubber stamp that has to be applied before the policy can be implemented. The ambassadors are expected to formally approve visa-free travel next week. EU diplomats told Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty that Georgians should be able to travel to the Schengen zone without visas by the end of March. As you may recall, the European Parliament voted to approve visa liberalization earlier this month. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze was in New York for the UN Security Council open debate on conflicts in Europe, where they discussed the conflicts in Ukraine and Georgia. Norwegian Secretary of Foreign Affairs Marit Berger-Rosland was in Tbilisi to meet with Deputy Foreign Minister Vakhtang Makarabloshvili. The meeting focused on the two countries' cooperation on implementation of the NATO substantial package. A delegation from the Georgian Orthodox Church went to Brussels this week to meet with EU and NATO officials as part of an ongoing program to engage the church in Euro-Atlantic integration processes. I understand this is a Dutch project, which is very cool. Their first official visit to Brussels came in November of last year. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov spoke about Georgia at the Munich Security Conference on the 18th of January. He said that relations between Russia and Georgia have begun to normalize, but that visa-free travel is still a tricky issue because the South Caucasus is a transit route for terrorists. He called on Georgia to cooperate fully with Russia's law enforcement agencies in order to deal with that issue. It's the Georgians that don't want visa-free travel with Russia because they're occupying so much of Georgia, and the Russians are embarrassed about it. So Lavrov is playing the well-worn terrorism card, hoping it will work on Trump at least. He didn't mention that thousands of Russian citizens have joined Daesh, and that many of them have crossed the border into Georgia on their way to Syria and Iraq via Turkey. Georgia's special envoy to Russia, Zura Abashidze, took exception to those comments, telling reporters that Georgia is a safe country with high security standards and that Russia has to decide itself whether to implement a visa-free regime. It is not conditional on Georgia's actions. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze said that Lavrov's comments contained nothing new and that the restoration of diplomatic ties is impossible while Russia occupies Georgian territory. Lavrov also criticized the International Criminal Court for its investigation into the 2008 August War, saying that investigators are biased against Russia, South Ossetia, and Abkhazia, and that they've ignored materials that documented and absolutely unequivocally confirmed the conflict was started by Mikhail Saakashvili. Abashidze's response was that Georgia has a radically different interpretation of events than the one held by Russia. Shalvashav Gulidze is the new leader of the Free Democrats after being selected at the party congress on Sunday. He is a former lawyer and served as an MP with the Free Democrats from 2012 to 16. The party's former leader Irakli Alassani is moving to Washington, D.C. to work in the private sector. He announced at a press conference following the party congress, he said he will remain a member of the Free Democrats, however. Woohoo. Education Minister Alexandre Djedjelava was appointed the country's third deputy prime minister. He will manage the cabinet's public relations and youth policy initiatives. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili said the move came in part to ensure that citizens are more educated about education policy, which is a top priority for the government. Currently, the other deputy prime ministers are Finance Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili and Energy Minister Kahik Kaladze. Government revealed that two Georgian military contractors are being held for ransom in Congo after their helicopter crashed earlier this month. The two men are believed to be held by M23, a rebel group operating in eastern Congo. According to Democracy and Freedom Watch, unconfirmed reports say the captors are demanding a ransom of up to $1 million. The government has vowed to get them back. One of the captured men, Soso Osauri, a retired Georgian soldier who now works for the Congolese army as a helicopter pilot. The other man has not been publicly identified. The Karache National Congress, a group, an activist group that represents the interests of Karache ethnic group living in the North Caucasus Republic of Karachayevo Cherkessia issued a statement condemning South Ossetia's planned referendum to change the territory's name to the Republic of South Ossetia, State of Alania. The Karachays say they also have claim to the name Alania. The potential name change is also opposed by the Ingush, who also claim heritage from the Alans, an Iranian nomadic people who conquered territory all over Europe and North Africa and are believed to have been the ancestors of several ethnic groups in the Caucasus. The Georgian and Abkhaz authorities met this week in Gali under the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism, or IPRM, where security conditions at the administrative boundary line topped the agenda. They discussed issues regarding Giga Okhozoria, a Georgian citizen who was murdered last May by an Abkhaz border guard, Rashid Kanjioglu. Kanjioglu is currently under house arrest in Abkhazia, and the authorities there refuse to hand him over. The next meeting is scheduled for the 21st of March. The Inguri hydropower plant, located at the administrative boundary line with Abkhazia, shut down on the 19th of February for monitoring. The shutdown will last for approximately 2 weeks. During the period, the gap in electricity production will be filled primarily by Russia with help from Georgia. The monitoring is part of the preparation for a larger rehabilitation that will start later this year and is expected to take roughly 40 months. A report presented by the organization Mediatori and the opposition political party New Georgia claimed that there are 41 millionaires in Lotti terms in Georgia's parliament. 37 of them are in Otsneva, with the remaining four split between the National Movement and the Alliance of Patriots. The wealthiest member of parliament, at least having made her declarations, is Nato Chedze of the Alliance of Patriots, with a declared property worth 51 million lari, followed by Kahi Kaladze and Shota Sashashvili of Otsneva with 37 and 35 million, respectively. A major cleanup of the river Tukvadi began this week, undertaken by Tbilisi City Hall and the Interior Ministry. Strangely, workers will use specialized equipment to remove accumulated silt and debris. Trees growing in the riverbed will be removed, according to Marina Marakova of the Environment Ministry. A more up-to-date sewage system is required to truly keep the river clean. A number of employees at the bookstore chain Biblos were fired after posting a video complaining about working conditions at the company. The firings were protested by the student movement Auditorium 115, who entered the main Biblos location on Chavchavadze afternoon in protest. The employees called the police to file a complaint against the company, but according to the authorities, the company didn't break any laws in firing them. Heavy snowfall temporarily shut down traffic at several points in Samegrelo and Svaneti, including cutting off the road that connects Zugdidi to Mestia. Ajada was also hit hard, with the Batumi-Kobuleti road shutting down over the weekend. According to news reports, the roads were back open by Monday. Tbilisi is getting its first bike path, an aside from the completely ridiculous and hilarious one across from the Radisson. It's an 8-kilometer stretch that will go along both sides of the Tukvadi River, connecting Deda Ana Park with Vahushti Bagrationi Bridge. According to the plan, a 25 bicycle parking spaces will be created. The path is scheduled to be completed this spring, and City Hall plans to create more in the future. Georgia is close to agreeing on a new program with the International Monetary Fund, as reported by Reuters. Georgia's existing standby agreement with the IMF expired on the 15th of February. It wants a new agreement that will help it attract foreign investment. According to Economy Minister Gheorghe Gacharia, the talks are focused on pension and capital market reform, and that Georgia does not need funding from the IMF, but it needs to send a strong signal to investors and financial institutions that it is implementing market-friendly reforms. The Russian government's feasibility study for the North-South Energy Corridor is expected to be finished during the second half of 2017. The corridor will link Russia to Iran through Georgia and Armenia. It will include an electrical power line linking Georgia and Armenia. JSC, Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation, or GOGC, is under fire for having spent 3.8 million lari between 2012 and 14 to pay for patrols to ensure that no one stole from Georgia's oil and gas pipeline. That's a problem because the company, which is publicly owned, was not in direct management of any pipelines during that time period. So wasn't responsible for patrolling them. The irregularity was raised in a report by the audit office, which recommended that the prosecutor look into it. Prosecutor's office hasn't yet announced whether they are investigating. The company didn't deny the allegations, which they also said it pays salaries to dozens of people, which also said that they paid salaries to dozens of people not officially listed on the company's payroll, and that it paid a company, New Energy LLC, to move 546 cubic meters of soil to make way for a series of electric towers. According to the audit service, even if New Energy's employees worked 24/7, they couldn't have come close to meeting that target. The contract was worth 44.5 million lari. Rooms Hotel is working on opening a new location in Batumi, although a specific date hasn't yet been given. They are currently in the construction phase. Also, Valeri Cheria, who is the CEO of Ajada Group, the company that owns Rooms as well as Fabrica, said they're looking into a new location in Cajeti as well. The company Samepo Limited is building a new hotel in Tel Aviv with support from the Entrepreneurship Development Agency. The total investment is 1.3 million lari, and the hotel is scheduled to open in June. Last week, we reported that direct flights are launching from Kutaisi to London's Luton Airport. This week, we're reporting that direct flights are launching from Tbilisi to London's Gatwick Airport, operated by Georgian Airways. Flights will begin in March, departing each Monday and Saturday. Also, Georgian Airways is launching direct flights from Tbilisi to Prague in May, as they used to have back in the day. Further details have not been made public. Georgia's rugby team, the Lelos, smashed Germany by a score of 50-6 in a weekend match in Rustavi. The match was part of the European Championship, which the Lelos won both in 2015 and 2016. The winner of the competition will qualify for the 2019 Rugby World Cup in Japan, but because Georgia performed well in the last cup, it is already qualified. Georgian Dream proposed legislative amendments to traffic rules that would require driving license applicants to pass a practical exam in real traffic conditions. It would also create a 100-point system for drivers, meaning that drivers would lose points for traffic violations such as speeding and drunk driving. Once a person runs out of points, their license will be suspended. According to Parliamentary Majority Leader Archil Talakwadze, who is sponsoring the bill, they expect the amendments to be adopted during the spring season and go into effect during the fall. Lawmakers are debating a blanket ban on indoor smoking that would cover sports stadiums and all forms of public transport. If passed, smoking would be prohibited inside all buildings except for private homes, laboratories specializing in tobacco research, penitentiary institutions, and pretrial detention centers. The bill would amend the Tobacco Control Act. According to statistics reported by Democracy and Freedom Watch, 58% of Georgian men over 15 smoke tobacco products. The meme this week is a video posted by the New York Times featuring violinist Lisa Batiashvili. That's gotten rave reviews from the New York Times. Batiashvili was born in Georgia but raised mainly in Germany. She's now based in Munich. Stuff to read. Gyorgy Lomsadze for Eurasianet covers recent allegations that the underground strip clubs and brothels located near Rose Revolution Square are discriminating against Georgian men. Prime Minister recently commented on it, but rather than being upset about the practice of illegal prostitution in Tbilisi, he seemed mostly bothered that Georgian men aren't invited to participate. He got a lot of criticism from human rights activists who said the focus should be on protecting women and girls from trafficking and abuse. Social Science in the Caucasus looks at public attitudes towards divorce in Georgia. Comparing 2011 to 2015, more people believe that divorce can be justified in certain situations, 6 to 16%. That shift correlates closely with a change in the number of people who say it cannot be justified, going from 60% to, for the first time, less than half, 48%. In 2015, 35% of people reported being neutral on the issue. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty has a good explanation on defense ministry reforms. It covers financial reforms and return to conscription. According to the defense minister, Izoria, conscription was brought back mostly to save money, as a wholly professional army costs about twice as much to maintain. The Georgian Institute of Politics publishes its 100 days report assessing the performance of the new Otsneba government. They cover four areas: economic policy, social policy, foreign policy, and democracy and human rights. They focus on assessing how closely the government kept its promises that Otsneba made during the campaign period, but they analyze some specific policies as well. They find the government has mostly kept its promises regarding foreign policy, has done fairly well on social and economic policy, but has been weak on democratization and human rights. For example, the proposed constitutional amendments, if they go through, will be a big setback for the country's democratic development. Also, the merger of Imedi Maestro and Georgian Dream is bad for, and GDS is bad for the state of media pluralism in Georgia. Check out the full report. It covers a lot. Tatuli Chubabria of the Human Rights Education Monitoring Center writes for Open Democracy about the recent number of workers' demonstrations around the country. The public broadcaster defense minister has fired large numbers of staff thus far this year, and private companies such as Rustavi Azot have done the same. In her view, the state is totally unresponsive to the needs of working people, so taking to the streets is really their only option to push policy where economic growth doesn't come at the expense of public sector employment and workers' rights. Currently, 15% of workers are employed in the public sector, compared to an average of 21% of the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD. Amnesty International releases its human rights report in Georgia, and particularly they highlight the lack of judicial independence and the poor human rights situation in the occupied territories. The report found the courts are more likely to hand down harsh sentences on people linked to the national movement. On the positive side, freedom of assembly and freedom of expression are strong. Maka Chitanava writes an ISET blog analyzing marriage in Georgia. She cites public opinion data on how Georgians view marriage in opposition to cohabitation. Interestingly, in rural areas, more respondents think that marriage is better primarily because it's more respected in society, whereas in urban areas, more respondents think it's better because it gives partners a greater sense of responsibility. In Chitanava's view, marriage is an institution that comes with formal and informal rules. It's widely respected in Georgia and most other societies because it serves a regulatory function in society. In most cases, it provides economic insurance to females, and for men, it provides a stronger incentive to make paternal investments in children. Paul Rimple reviews Black Dog Pub for Culinary Backstreets. Black Dog is non-smoking and dog-friendly and serves good craft beer and solid bar food. There's no Georgian food on the menu because, in the words of owner Zura Chitaya, people can get that anywhere. Rimple's verdict? It's a friendly neighborhood joint with a good beer, and there aren't many of those in Tbilisi. For those who don't know, Black Dog is located at 33 Asatiani Street. New York Times covers Tbilisi's impressive restaurant industry, starting with Shavi Lomi and moving on to Ezo and Barbarastan. Also featured is Azer Pesha and Poliponia, a place that just opened in December. There are lots of mistakes in the article, but it's still interesting. All this stuff to read, they're posted in the forum if you want to take a look. This week's dive bar number is 1,966. That is the number of years since the Common Era began, the year the Tbilisi metro system opened. It has 22 stations and was last expanded in 2000, but was actually dug and opened in 1966. Announcements. Tractor initiative by Yona Kasuk and Hans Goodbrot earlier this month launched a mobile app for Georgian farmers, believed to be the first of its kind. The app provides farmers with local weather forecasts, free text and video tutorials, showing them how to carry out key tasks in the field. In addition, the app provides a marketplace where farmers can buy their input supplies, such as pesticides, fertilizers, seeds, and farm tools. Last year, Tractor was named one of Europe's 20 best startups at the Startup Fest Europe competition in the Netherlands. If you know any Georgian farmers, it is a really great app with a lot of information. Be sure they know about it. The Urban Lab Project recently released bilingual maps that cover metro stations, main streets, and other landmarks located near metro stations. The maps are posted within the subway system. The initiative was funded through Orbeliani, an online platform that helps local citizens get funding to take positive action in their communities. The new maps will make it easier for both locals and tourists to navigate the city. Good job, Urban Lab. On Sunday, the 26th of February, Kiwi Cafe is screening Transit Havana, a film that's part of the Cine Doc Tbilisi On Tour project. The film tells the story of transgender people in Cuba. The film's director, Alex Bakker, will be on hand to answer questions. Kiwi is now located at 6 Machabeli Street in Old Tbilisi. Also from Cinedoc, the Georgian documentary The Dazzling Light of Sunset by Salome Jashi is screening at the Amirani on the 27th of February at 7 p.m. The film is in Georgian with English subtitles. Salome Jashi is really cool, and this is probably great. You should go see it if you could. I've heard it's really good. The restaurant Rosemary hosts a weekly pub quiz each Tuesday in English at 8 p.m. Rosemary is located at 41 Vertskli Street. Teams can have up to 4 people, and the winning team gets cash prizes as well as free rounds of drinks. The American Language Center announced that they're putting on an elementary pre-intermediate Georgian course starting in late February. The start date is flexible and depends on enrollment. It covers 32 hours of class and costs 400 lari. Students are expected to already have basic Georgian skills. For more info, send an email to alctbilisi@gmail.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1999, from London, this is Groove Armada and Fatboy Slim with I See You, Baby.
This is the house that funk built. Groove Armada style.
Shaking that ass, shaking that ass.